Inside on Business, the News Hour, is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices in Iowa and Nebraska. It's realestateconcepts.net. And Iowa Computer Repair. You want your computer to work? That's what they do. IowaComputerRepair.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Business News Hour. Startling news, wasn't it, about Walmart having the worst day since 1988. Yikes. That was a lousy day on the report from Wall Street. I know. Son of a gun. With us in studio, as he is each Tuesday afternoon, is our friend Phil James from Good Milkshake. Hey, Phil. What's
Michael.
Going on, man?
Yeah, Michael, hey. Don't call him Mike.
And the other voice, the female voice that you hear over here, is Catherine Dickel from Midwest Ticks, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be breaking down some marketing issues here on the Business News Hour. Welcome, guys. Good to have you here, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
They call you Kat or Catherine? What shall
I
we call
I have three
you?
Names.
You do.
Some people call me Kat, some people call me Catherine, and then people from my childhood call me Katie.
Oh, I was going to say, I was waiting for Sugar. hey, Sugar.
No.
Yeah. No, yeah. Okay.
You're such a sweet talker, Michael.
Oh, right. Sweet talk.
Yeah. Don't go away, folks. We'll be here all week, and do not forget to tip the wait staff. All right. What are we talking? Phil, this was the Phil James brainchild, ladies and gentlemen, because we talk about marketing on this segment every Tuesday, giving marketing tips, suggestions, ways out, ways to find your way through the maze of marketing challenges that are out there.
So well, the idea was we wanted to bring together some small business owners in the metro that for one reason or another have had success in their business, but they've had some pain points when it comes to
you
marketing.
Said you weren't
I know
say
I wasn't going to say pain points, but it's like stuck in my head. I even
How
wrote
about
the word
challenges.
I even wrote the word "don't say pain
don't
points" down.
Wrong. Well, we flunked.
Yeah.
So
people
are
thinking we're talking about acupuncture here.
Right. So challenges.
Can you bring good milkshakes next time?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. They always complain about that. Like everywhere I go, people aren't you the ice cream guy?
Yeah. Right.
Kinda.
That's interesting because Midwest Ticks is a division of our parent company, which is Swelu Media. And
what does that mean?
It's actually the name of
Swahili?
A song.
Swahili.
I can't remember what the ethnicity of the name is, but there was a musician. His name is Willie Porter. He's an amazing musician out of Milwaukee, and he and I became friends back in another lifetime. And I heard him sing this song, and I was looking for a name for the business, and I loved it, and I loved what the song was about, which is really just.
So is the name of the song Swelu?
It is Swelu. Okay. Yeah, we spell. A little bit differently. We spelled it phonetically as opposed to the way the ethnic spelling is done. But the point is that when we named our company this, I was told literally like by everybody, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do it. It's just too weird. Mm. Nobody will know how to say it.
Or spell it.
And it's just, you know, a bad idea. Turns out it was a very good idea because it kind of dovetailed nicely into the fact that Heather and I were two women business owners. So everybody did mispronounce it, but they were, oh, those are the Swahili girls, Swahili girls. And so everybody knew who we were because we had a weird name and we were two women that were owning a business, which was very,
very, very crazy
in this town at
that time.
Probably maybe still is a little weird.
No, it's not crazy. Not anymore.
Yeah.
So this is morphed into the parent company, and it's morphed into Midwest Ticks. It was founded in 2002. It's quite a while ago. And as I indicated off mic, you were, what, 12 when you started
right.
that? Because
that's right. Right. I was a phenom.
Yeah, very nice. and so you've built this business, Midwest Ticks, around the idea of what, Catherine?
Well, you know, I was talking before about how when we started the business, we did some focus groups with a lot of the arts organizations here in Des Moines. And one of the things that they all indicated that they really needed beyond just the ticketing functionality, which did not exist for them at the time, was they needed a place that they could all leverage each other's marketing. So they wanted to have a place where if somebody came to buy a ticket for Civic Music Association, for example, or Hoyt Sherman, that they would run across other events.
So there would be other like-minded things in that whole. So it's kind of like this gigantic arts calendar that's out there.
Right, it was an event portal, basically.
Yeah,
you know. And so that was something that was a very big deal for everybody back then. And so that's why MidwestTix.com is what it is today. So if you go to MidwestTix.com, it's not a sales site for our company. It's really a sales site for our clients. It's all events, listings. We actually just went through a big redesign where we, you know, got it all sorted out to be more friendly across devices, but also to be able to accommodate the different ways in which people would access events or search for events, which has changed over the course of time.
Did you ever think that you were going to start a tech company?
No. I mean, ticketing, you never choose ticketing. I mean, that's like choosing to be a, you know, used car salesman. People never want to do that. Swaylu is a marketing company, and we started it as a web development and design company back in 2000 because everybody was creating websites back then that just didn't look very good. And we were really working on, I had started at Meredith with a magazine there working on the front end side of things. So design and content infrastructure and writing and all
the
Wild
West.
It was totally the Wild West back then. And so when I left there and met Heather, my business partner, who's a graphic designer, we really kind of packaged ourselves as kind of like these front end specialists. And we were called Swaylu Web Design Cooperative because we had a bunch of different freelancers at the time that worked with us. And so when we got a project, we'd kind of pick a good team, put it together and, you know, do the project. And so off of that, we started working with Hoyt Sherman on a project, and Alicia Barkas at the time was the executive director, and she asked us if we would be interested in building a ticketing technology for the theater.
So that's where it started.
Yeah. So, and we were very invested in the music community here and still are, and there, you know, Vaudeville Muse was opening up at the time, and things were starting to hop, and, you know, we're like, hey, if we can provide this kind of economic infrastructure piece to the market here, it might really be able to like lift everything up. And we saw some really good benefits too for our business in terms of like residual income streams and things like that.
So what this is, what it started out to be, was a group of individuals who were building websites that saw a need in the ticketing world and built a website to do ticketing.
That's how most businesses start, right?
Yeah, that's it. Right. So when we start to talk, there's a lot of places where venues can utilize tickets.
Right.
Or get tickets. Is it because of the unique position that you're in as a local company? Does that help here in the metro? And how does that play when you're in Salt Lake?
Well, we are not in Salt Lake, and we have like specifically decided not to grow our company in that fashion. The way that it's played out for us over the years is that we concentrate on what I call hyper local business model.
Sure.
So a lot of people that develop ticketing technologies or companies, technology companies, the idea is like they grow really, really big and they're national. They may be international and they get sold and whatever. We really built our business to like employ people and support our community
and
do that. So,
and that was before that was cool.
That's right.
Before it was cool. Because
I was
really,
country before country was cool, Michael.
Because now, of course, all this hyper-local stuff is really a driver among many of the marketing people. I mean, I was just at Whole Foods the other day. They have 1,100 local farmers that put food out there. I thought it was nuts. And as far as that number, a huge number. So
it's really interesting because if you think about the massive influx of – and we've been in business for 16 years. So from 2002 to now, the technology and marketing landscape has changed drastically.
Sure.
And I'll be very interested to see how things play out in the next 5 years, especially with what's been going on with Facebook. I think there's going to be a bit of a backlash, frankly, on some of that. And I think people are going to start looking to go back to some of their local resources for information, things that are not so manipulatable. And, you know, I think that for companies like ours, that will put us in an even better position than we are now. You know, I think
are you talking about SEO and things like that, as far as like being if somebody searches for tickets, right? We should explain what that is for your audience. It's search engine optimization, right?
Right.
And I'm not mansplaining there.
No. Totally. I know you're not a mansplainer, Phil.
All right. But okay,
you better not.
Okay. So basically, it's, you know, is that one of the things you're talking about? Is SEO part of that strategy?
Well, yeah. I mean, certainly. I mean, we're not saying that, you know, all the tools are going to be abandoned, right? But there's been a huge investment, certainly in ticketing technology and in people's marketing budgets to throw a lot of money into Facebook, primarily because it's trackable and it's not very expensive, right? But even now, you know, Facebook's kind of jimmying with what they're going to be putting on their feeds, and it's going to get a little less, it's supposedly supposed to be getting a little less commercial. And I think that they're starting to become kind of an inherent distrust about the information that is coming through feeds. People are kind of like, well, do I believe that? Or I'm always, you know, I'm always having to kind of like double check whatever I'm reading and things like that. And so I think that that's going to be a real interesting problem for Facebook and ergo for the people that are investing a lot of money in Facebook right now in terms of their, you know, their marketing structures.
What's been your experience with Facebook ads?
As a consumer or?
Well, yeah, a little of both. I mean, as a business, you know, it's a business show.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, as a business, you know, it's a really great value. I mean, you can't beat Facebook for value, really. You know, for what you have to spend and what you can reach and how you can control it. You know, the control is really great, too. You know, that being said, I think that Facebook is also a very complex algorithm, and I don't think a lot of people really know how to use it. They can go on and put an ad on, and that's really easy. But to be successful with that and understand, like, how Facebook's going to distribute that and manipulate that client base that you're going after. I mean, that's a real art form. And I don't think a lot of people really know how to do it well. And the ones that do know how to do it well make presidents.
Now, there's something that I've noticed lately with Facebook ads. And let me know if this is just me going nuts when I see this. But like in my feed, I'm seeing an inordinate amount of local ads. I don't know if you, maybe, you know, they do a lot of A-B testing, so that I may be part of that A-B test. But like, and what I'm also noticing is that local folks, generally speaking, just don't have a clue.
I would agree with that.
But it's still the fact that even if they don't have a clue on how to put a nice image out there, I still noticed it. Well, I still noticed it and paid attention to it.
It's kind of because you're a hyper-local kind of guy. Yeah. And you're seeing those kinds of things. But even if they don't know how to structure those ads or do those things, what they're doing is they're being able to pick their demographic correctly. Mm-hmm. So they're saying, okay, I want everybody in the 50321 area code or whatever happens to be. Is that?
But I don't want to get too far off topic. I've been seeing ads that are local, but for some reason, they're using a national audience. They're just completely blowing their money. And so it's just important. I'm sure it happens a lot. And I think it's, to me, like, it's a little bit of a scam. Obviously they're responsible for whatever ads they decide to buy. But, you know, they're not targeting those by geography. And so I got one yesterday from a Simi Valley, California CrossFit sort of thing. I saw that.
Really?
Part of me wants to just like to message them and say, come on, guys, get with it.
Yeah, do you think they're enamored by the sheer number?
They
look at that and say, oh, wow, I can reach 3 billion people.
I think I probably just have an ad agency or somebody that's like, oh, look, we're doing all this and it's reaching and here's your numbers
pay us the money,
guys.
I think, you know, for me, Facebook, where Facebook still has real value in my mind, both as a creative person and I think what I like to engage in the most on Facebook is really pages that still do the hard work of just making a good page. You know, they're curating well, especially for hyper local markets. So that's what I like to see on Facebook. You know, the ads, you kind of just go into like a kind of numb zone after a while with ads, but you know, I like to see pages that people are really investing some time in. Now, that's expensive, right? And That's an art form too. But I mean, if you look at what Facebook has really taken over, they've taken over that magazine or that newspaper. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you get, you know, I always like to say to my clients, and we work with not only our entertainment clients on the Midwest Tick side, but we also have a lot of clients on the Swaylu side. Do the ads. The ads are out there. You can blah, blah, blah. But what are you actually doing on your page?
How are you
engage?
Engaging? Yeah, exactly.
How are you engaging? Why do people care about what you're doing? You know, so and if you're doing that in a really hyper local way, people are going in your local market are going to stay on top of you.
Well, and to bring this back to Midwest Ticks for just a moment, because that's where you started, indicating that you were a hyper local kind of an organization. But yet now we have some doubts on Facebook whether or not that's going to be there for perhaps some of your clients. All right. So when clients come to you and they say, okay, look, we've got this actor, this musician or this play or whatever it happens to be that we're selling tickets for, how are they marketing themselves?
Well, the biggest trend that we're seeing really is what is called the flash sale. So, and this is really taking off in one of our biggest markets, which is our county and state fair markets. So it's this whole idea that like for 12 hours, we're going to sell these tickets for $5 off, and it's only going to be for 12 hours, and we're not going to talk about it until it happens. And it's really to just catch those people that are on their feed and have them go out and say, oh, my God, did you see that we could get these tickets? We need to buy right now.
It's an impulse buy.
It's an impulse buy. So it's really – and they've been very successful, frankly, with that, just kind of driving that, you know, that monster, that
sure.
consumer
and,
monster.
And they're using those individuals who are getting those ads to be able to be there. They're marketers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Smart.
Exactly. And I think creating that – urgency really kind of beefs up the buy. Mm. It really does. Mm. I mean,
so that's one of the ways that your people that you have as clients are trying to market. Are people still doing? I see still a lot of traditional marketing. I mean, there's a lot of TV stuff that goes out. There's a lot of print stuff that still goes out in very focused magazines or those types of entertainment venue things. Obviously. Are they still using print? Still using some?
I think that they are. I mean, because you always have to be cognizant of your demographic spread. So, you know, you're going to have people that are older that are still reading the newspaper. And if you want those people coming to your events, you're going to have to buy there.
It depends on the event, too.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. There still is a need for that and still a market for that. But I don't think you can deny that the shift has happened. Right. You know, the shift has happened into digital. And, you know, like we were talking, it's we'll see if it's better or for worse at some point. I mean, I would love to see the reemergence of more paper in the hyperlocal setting, more print in the hyperlocal setting. Again, I think that's just more interesting and creative to the local ecosystem.
Speaking about some of these local, specifically things like 8035, Hinterland, things like that, they still do a lot of billboard. Playbill. You know, they're doing, they're, I mean, I'm not sure. I know the people that run those events, but like I haven't really dug deep to find out what percentage of it is digital, what percentage of it is traditional. And I think it seems like it's a good 50-50. And they're reaching millennials.
Should be, because one of the things that you're trying to do, whereas you're trying to move the digital market and to action, first you have to be aware of what the thing is. So traditional marketing in playbills or billboards or whatever it happens to be at least puts that, oh, yeah, that's going on. And then when I see it in the digital world, I can take action on that and buy them.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's where the merger happens is basically you like 8035 might have a street team out there. Right. And they're putting out the print.
Right.
But on the print is basically a route back to digital. So use this code to go and buy your ticket. So it's merging those two things together so that you're getting a little bit of that tractability that you get through digital and still being able to access that print that gives you that hyper-local thing.
You know, there's another aspect. You just said street team. And I think that is a fascinating way to go ahead and market something, especially if you arm your street team with the social media tools that they can be doing Facebook Live or live video or video or Snapchat, whatever it happens to mm-hmm. be on the street while they're interacting yeah. with consumers.
Doubling up with that. That's brilliant.
There's whole companies seriously. That do that, just yeah, their street right. team companies. Sure. So, mm-hmm. yeah, it's
but,
a thing.
But adding the Snapchat and the Instagram stories side of it, too, it's something I never even considered. They got to do it. Now I'm going to send an email. Or, actually, not an email.
It's a new division of Milkshake. Yeah,
it's a blog.
I got to pitch that.
Catherine Dickel is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, along with, of course, Phil James, who is in each and every Tuesday talking about marketing issues. If you had a magic wand, Catherine, and you could
how do you know I don't have a magic
you
wand?
Probably do. She has certainly put a spell on us. If you had a magic wand, what would you wish could happen that would increase your business substantially?
I wish that more organizations within hyperlocal markets would buy local. Hmm. That would be the number one thing.
Can I give you just a thing that I've been preaching a lot lately?
Yeah.
Okay. It's imagine that if you are your own media company, which you kind of are mm-hmm. in a way, right?
Yeah.
Now, what would happen if you took your phone or your camera and just went to these venues and just did interviews with artists with these venues themselves? So it's not about you selling the tickets. It's about you. You're the community person.
Right.
And this would be on Facebook Live. You could even hire somebody to walk around with the camera and do this for you. Drake student, DMAC, something like that. But actually curating, you're talking about curating mm-hmm. that local content of you would sort of be the go-to person for those interviews when, mm-hmm. when big names are coming to town. George Clinton's coming to town, you know, and Hoyt Sherman wants to, I mean, I'd want to get on that bus with George Clinton. Right?
Oh boy, wouldn't
yeah.
you though? Yeah. Funkadelic, baby.
I mean, where the circle's got to close on that, though, yeah. is that Hoyt Sherman's got to be supporting a company okay. like mine that would, then I can give those resources out there. I can hire somebody like
yeah.
a Phil James Whoa. To go do some cool stuff for me. So, yeah, that's where the circle mm-hmm. needs to close for companies that are focused in local markets like mm-hmm. we are.
Good stuff. Thank you, guys. Yeah. This was fun. See?
Yeah, it was.
We just rocket and
roll. We could have gone for hours.
Hours, yeah. But obviously, Dustin Halderson is saying time is up. Yeah, he says that's good. Yeah. Thank you, Catherine.
All right, thank you,
Catherine
Michael.
Dickel, ladies and gentlemen, it is Midwest Ticks and also, of course, Phil James on the broadcast today. All right, we've got to clear on out of here on Akana. It is nigh on to 6 o'clock. That means we've got to go. For all of us associated with Insight on Business, the News Hour, my name is Michael Libby. For Dustin Halderson, who's our producer today, Mary Sayer is the liaison between our advertising agency and the Des Moines Radio Group. Pat Wood is the program director for the radio station. Also, Jeff Delvaux is the general manager for the Des Moines Radio Group. The music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett exclusively for the Business News Hour. For all those folks, my name is Michael Libby. Have yourself a wonderful evening. We'll be back on Willing tomorrow at 5 p.m. with more of the business news. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be doing a full hour of Cindy Axney, who is running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District. Should be very interesting. All right, we got to go. On our way, by the way, to Windsor Heights for Celebrate Windsor Heights tonight. Should be a great time. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good night.